James and I had to say goodbye to one of our cats this past May. Her name was Annie, but we rarely called her that. Early on, I nicknamed her Annie Fanny Banani, which later became Banana Boat or just Boat. We joke sometimes that she probably died believing her name was Boat. She was a tortoise shell kitty with all the attitude that comes with a tortie. Those of you who have loved torties know what I mean. She was funny. She was quirky. She made her likes and dislikes known. She especially disliked whistling, to the point that she would come running to meow loudly at James whenever he did it. But what I will always remember best about our sweet Annie was how much she loved James. From the moment he rescued her outside Johnny's Pizza in Athens, he was her whole world. She came to love me, but nobody could compare to him. James said earlier this week, "I hope to be 1/10 the person Annie believed I was." As I was preparing for today's message, I came across a phrase that made me think of Annie: undeserved blessings. It's such a great description for how she loved us, and especially James. She didn't care when we sometimes fed her late, although she would complain, or went on vacation and left her with strangers, or even when we whistled the song stuck in our heads. She still loved us. And that love was such an undeserved blessing that added enormously to our lives for almost 18 years. The story Jeannie read this morning is also a story of undeserved blessings. King Solomon is a familiar character from the Old Testament, remembered especially for his wisdom. In reality, Solomon and his family were a long way from perfect. He was the youngest son of David, King David, and his wife Bathsheba. His birth into the family was not without controversy. Bathsheba, you may remember, was the beautiful woman King David saw bathing and desired so much that he sent his servants to bring her to him. He slept with her and she became pregnant, which was a big problem because she was married, not to David. David conspired to have her husband killed in a military battle and then married her once she was a widow. But Bathsheba's baby died as punishment from God for David's misdeeds. Solomon was David and Bathsheba's second son, one of David's youngest children, and should not have been the heir to David's throne. His older brother, Adonijah, was the expected successor, but Bathsheba wanted her son Solomon to become king. Bathsheba conspired with the prophet Nathan to block Adonijah's succession and anoint Solomon king. David and Solomon ruled together for a few years before David died, and Bathsheba enjoyed the influential position of Queen Mother. So Solomon's background was not ideal for a king of Israel, and his reign did not start out all that well either. Shortly after his father's death, Solomon negotiated with the Pharaoh of Egypt to take one of the Pharaoh's daughters as his wife. This marriage was more of a political alliance than a true love match. Winning the hand of Pharaoh's daughter was a prestigious accomplishment that increased Solomon's international prominence, but it was viewed with skepticism and even distaste back home. Marrying a foreigner was a violation of Jewish law as described in the book of Deuteronomy for two reasons. One, because bringing in a foreign princess could distract God's people and cause them to turn away from God. And two, because the laws of Deuteronomy specifically stated that the king should not cause his people to return to Egypt. Marrying the Egyptian princess also had the potential to distract Solomon from his responsibilities as king, and it did. When he brought her to Jerusalem, the city was not ready. The temple, the major center of worship and sacrifice to God, had not been built yet, and the royal palace was not finished. And King Solomon was so distracted by his marriage to the princess that he had put off building defenses around the city and focused his energies on finishing the palace instead rather than the temple. So it's with this history that our story today started. In our story today, King Solomon headed off to the city of Gibeon, that's with a B, not a D, about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem, to make a sacrifice to God, because the temple where he should have made such sacrifices did not exist yet. While he was in Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. This appearance was important because it was God and not Solomon who initiated it. Even though Solomon had risked the kingdom through his alliance with Egypt and had neglected building the temple and the defense of the city, God appeared to Solomon and confirmed Solomon's role as the chosen king of Israel. Solomon did nothing to deserve this grace from God, and in fact did many things that worked against it. And yet God took the initiative to come to Solomon. Undeserved blessings. But this was not just a casual visit. God had an important purpose in appearing before Solomon. There was an ancient ritual in royal coronation ceremonies where the new king had the opportunity to ask God for something special. And so during this dream visit, God instructed Solomon, "Ask what I should give you." This statement was both an affirmation that Solomon was the true king and also an opening to ask for literally anything: riches, power, prestige, political connections. And yet Solomon's request was surprisingly simple. He praised God's love for his father David, thanked God for making him king, and asked for only one thing: an understanding mind able to discern the difference between right and wrong to govern God's people. Solomon's request was made in faith. He sought the good of God's kingdom first rather than his own personal interests. And as a result, specifically because Solomon's request was not for himself but for his people, God blessed Solomon with a wise and discerning mind that he could use to distinguish good from evil so that he could guide his people in the right way. Wisdom was an important biblical value during Solomon's time. So important, in fact, that it was elevated above most other values. People striving to follow God were encouraged to seek wisdom first, because other benefits would follow as a result. A person who had wisdom could expect to receive a long life, honor, material possessions, and many other blessings. In Solomon's case, the wisdom he received was a gift from God. It was not an innate quality he was born with, and he did not acquire his wisdom through his own efforts. It was an undeserved and unearned blessing from God with only one condition: that he obey God's will. And with it, Solomon received the gifts of long life, political power, wealth, and fame. It may be tempting to oversimplify this story and give Solomon a little too much credit. After all, Solomon's response to God appeared on the surface like a model prayer. He praised God, set aside his own selfish desires, and requested something for the benefit of the people he was given to rule and to guide. And certainly we want our own prayers to reflect these same ideals: gratitude, recognition of God's many gifts to us, and requests that benefit others rather than ourselves. And yet it's important to remember that Solomon was also an imperfect man who married for political power. And after receiving the undeserved blessing of wisdom, Solomon failed to obey God. He was an imperfect king who broke Jewish laws throughout his reign, spent too much time enjoying the company of beautiful women, and eventually began building pagan altars and worshiping idols. God punished Solomon and his family by removing most of the tribes of Israel from their rule. Within a year of Solomon's death, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, and his descendants ruled only the kingdom of Judah. And yet, God's response to Solomon in this passage teaches us an important lesson. God responds to the sincere, yet imperfect and inadequate, love of human beings with blessings that are greater than we deserve. God blesses us not because we are perfect or live our lives right every single day, but simply because God loves us. I invite you to think for a moment about some blessings in your life or some moments of grace that may feel like you didn't deserve them. What talents, possessions, or relationships do you have that feel like more than you've earned or more than you could ever dare expect in life? Sometimes God's undeserved blessings are easy to identify, but sometimes they're more subtle, perhaps even disguised as things we don't think we want. One of my favorite Disney movies is Mary Poppins, the story of a quirky, magical nanny who visited the Banks family and upended their everyday life. But have you ever thought of Mary Poppins as a story of unexpected and undeserved blessings? Let me explain. At the beginning of the story, the Banks family was run with military precision and strict rules. The father, George Banks, was preoccupied with his career at the bank and viewed his children as distractions that should be somebody else's responsibility. When the latest in a long line of nannies quit because the bank's children were difficult to control, Mr. Banks sought an even stricter replacement. Instead, the family got Mary Poppins, a sparkling bundle of energy who hosted tea parties on the ceiling and jumped into chalk drawings and quickly won the children's love and admiration. Mr. Banks did not really like Mary Poppins. He didn't approve of her approach to caring for the children. It's probably safe to say he did not consider her presence in his home and family a blessing. And yet, after a series of disastrous events, culminating when Michael Banks accidentally started a run on the bank and the board of the bank fired George Banks, Mr. Banks came to recognize how important his family was and took steps to become less work-obsessed and a more caring father. This unusual nanny may not have met the expectations of George Banks, but her presence in his family and home turned out to be an unexpected and undeserved blessing for the entire Banks family. As human beings, we tend to divide things and people into categories: good and bad, right and wrong, deserving and undeserving. But God's grace defies all our categories, because it's a blessing given freely to us, whether we are good or bad, right or wrong, deserving or undeserving. We don't have to do anything to deserve God's grace. And in fact, we can't earn it by being extra kind or extra loving or extra faithful, because it's something we already have. Stop and think for just a second about what a huge statement that is. We receive God's grace simply because we are beloved children of God, and that grace is for everyone. And so our task as receivers of this incredible and undeserved blessing is to go out and share it with others, to let them know that they too are deeply loved by God. How can you share this undeserved blessing with the person who can't find housing, who may feel abandoned by God? With the person struggling with addiction, who may not realize God's love is there for them? With the person who has been ostracized in the church because of how they dress or talk or the people they love, who may not feel safe entering an unfamiliar church? We are surrounded by people who desperately need to see and hear and feel and experience God's undeserved blessings in their lives. And we may be just the ones we've been looking for who can share that message of grace. May God bless us as we go forward and do so. Amen.